This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Soda tastes so good, but it's not so good for you. One can of Coke has about 10 teaspoons of sugar, and too much sugar leads to obesity, diabetes, and a host of other health problems. Widespread diabetes made Mexico pass a national tax on sugary soft drinks last year, but in the U.S., it has yet to happen. That may change tomorrow if Berkeley or San Francisco pass measures that would levy taxes on distributors of sugar-sweetened beverages. So diet sodas are not included. 1 cent per ounce in Berkeley, 2 cents per ounce in San Francisco. Proponents say the taxes would curb soda consumption and make people healthier. Opponents argue that it unfairly targets low-income earners living in food deserts. KALW's Liz Pfeffer has the story of the latest battle in the war on big sugar.
First off, this is about more than soft drinks. The proposed taxes in Berkeley and San Francisco would apply to all kinds of sugary beverages, including sweetened juices and coconut waters. But the main target is soda, and the main opponent is the American Beverage Association, the lobbying arm of big corporations like Coca-Cola and Pepsi. In San Francisco, the American Beverage Association has spent more than $9 million fighting Proposition E. Former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich, who now teaches public policy at UC Berkeley, says that money has a big influence on politics.
Well, there are 90 separate cities, municipalities, and states that have tried to tax sugared soft drinks, sodas, and they've all failed because the National Beverage Association is huge and powerful.
Reich says this could be the last battle for a soda tax, that if it can't pass in two of the most progressive cities in the country, it probably won't pass anywhere.
I think the soda wars that we are now engaged in represents not just the issue of sugary soft drinks and the health of our children and ourselves. It also represents a larger issue, and that is big companies, profit-making corporations, selling things that are not healthy, trying to convince people that they shouldn't act to protect themselves.
Now, Reich is in favor of taxing soda, obviously. He says it will reduce soda drinking like taxing cigarettes reduced smoking. To be clear, this isn't a point of sale tax. Beverage distributors will pay the tax, and it's up to the businesses to decide how they want to adjust their prices. Reich thinks they won't really feel it.
Most of these stores are selling things other than sugared soft drinks. They're not dependent on sugared soft drinks to make a living. Nobody's dependent on tobacco sales, at least not any longer, to make a living. But you're also saving money because the huge cost to the public that everybody pays, including these businesses, in terms of Medicare and Medicaid and everything else that we shell out for health care because of the obesity epidemic we have that's directly related to things like sugary soft drinks.
Let's consider Berkeley's Measure D, which would tax sugared drinks at a penny an ounce. UCSF researchers say that could reduce soda consumption 10 to 15% over a decade. And if applied nationally, a penny an ounce tax could save billions of dollars by cutting health and cost burdens of diabetes. On the other hand, a University of Wisconsin-Madison study indicated that a soda tax would do little to decrease obesity. But opponents say a sugar-sweetened beverage tax, which applies to almost any drink with added sugar, will disproportionately target low-income families, because in some cases, sodas and juices with added sugar are all that's available to them.
We know well that there are food deserts in our city. You can't find grocery stores in many parts of, you know, the Bayview, Hunters Point, the Tenderloin, Outer Mission. And that is actually a problem. Sugary beverages is not.
This is Angeles Roy. She's the regional field director of the No on E campaign. And I joined her and canvasser Robert Fay in the Glen Park neighborhood of San Francisco as they made the rounds knocking on voters' doors.
Hey, I'm looking for Jacqueline. Yeah. Hey, my name is Robert. I work on the No on Proposition E campaign. Uh-huh. Familiar with the sugar tax laws? Came out on November 4th? Yeah. Sounds like you already have an opinion about it.
Yeah, we're not going to vote on it.
Okay, great. That's what I'm working for.
No. We're all very upset about that. My name is Jacqueline Serrano, and I live here in San Francisco. And we're very upset about taxes. Of course, we got to pay our fair share around here. I understand that. But parents need to take control. As a grandparent, you need to take control of your children and what they can eat and what they can't eat. But why should we have to pay taxes on something that it is responsibility of the parents?
People like Serrano make a canvasser's job easy. But more than one-third of San Francisco voters will have to say no to Prop E in order to defeat it. So where are voters on the debate?
Reading like that is annoying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, my name is Robert. I work on the No on Proposition E campaign.
I'm actually for it.
Oh, good. Okay. I mean, you're good for it.
Yeah, I think we should tax it.
Why do you think that?
That tax is expected to generate $35 to $54 million a year for nutrition classes and physical education. But many residents are still weighing its merits. It's a complex issue. The health risks associated with sugar consumption are undisputed by either side. But is a tax the best way to reduce soda consumption? If voters decide yes tomorrow, it could just be the beginning of a much longer war. I'm Liz Pfeffer for Cross Currents.
So what do you think about taxing sugar-sweetened soda pop? How are you voting tomorrow? Give us a call at 415-264-7106 and let us know. 415-264-7106 or email us at news@klw.org.